We're in the home stretch now. Last year I didn't read because we had quite a few readers, and I thought, well, we'll let it go at that. This year I decided I'm going to read, and I'll keep it in 6 minutes. This is In Search of the Happiness Machine. I'm 11 years old and sitting on a padded window box, legs crossed Indian style. In my hands I hold a six-week-old issue of the Saturday Evening Post. Here I find stories by Agatha Christie, Paul Gallico, Sinclair Lewis, and others. This could be one of my favorite spots in the whole world, but it's not. This is the home and office of Luther K. Brodzeller, DDS. It is a place that promises the extremes of human experience, from joy to terror. Here in the waiting room, patients are invited to relax, read, listen to music on the radio. But in the back room is a clinic filled with Klieg lights, a Frankenstein chair, and an array of intimidating dental instruments. I am reading a story by a writer named Ray Bradbury, The Happiness Machine. One of the main characters is Douglas Spaulding, a boy about my age. Douglas meets a man named Leo Offman, who is determined to build a happiness machine. I imagine myself in the place of Douglas Spaulding, working on a magical device that can produce bliss with the touch of a button. Then I imagine myself as Ray Bradbury, writing such a wonderful story about people just like me. My daydream is interrupted by Mrs. Brodzeller, who appears at the door to Luther K's surgery. She beckons to me. I point to myself as if to ask, "Me? Are you sure?" She nods. I return to the Saturday Evening Post, to the pile of publications on the table, and enter the depths of the Brodzeller lair. Inside, Luther K. Brodzeller wears a white lab coat. He waves me to the padded chair in the center of the room. The chair is flanked on one side by a small, round porcelain sink, and on the other by a prehensile-looking arm with a drill bit at its end. Luther K. Brodzeller has a voice half an octave below the growl of a bulldog. His specialty is extractions. Any doubt about the method of treatment is resolved in favor of the stainless steel pliers he keeps close at hand. "So," he asks in an imperious tone, "what brings you to my surgery this fine morning?" "Toothache." He pulls out a file folder. "Have we been brushing twice a day?" he asks. I shrug. "Sort of." "Sort of, or sort of not? Take care of your teeth and they'll take care of you, I always say. Ignore them and they'll go away." He chuckles at his own joke. Mrs. Brodzeller reappears and clips a paper napkin around my neck. Her frown tells me she agrees with her husband's low opinion of me. "Open wide." I obey, locking my jaw in place. "Which one?" I point to a spot at the back of my mouth where the molars live. The 1,000-watt lamp shines directly in my face as I say, "Ah," and Luther K. Brodzeller utters a series of hmms. He taps the tooth in question with a small mirror. I flinch in pain. A table model RCA radio plays somber music that reminds me of funeral parlors. As the dentist takes drill in hand, an antiseptic odor reaches my overly sensitive nose. I close my eyes and try to imagine what Douglas Spaulding would do in these circumstances. Escape to the happiness machine? If only such a device were possible. "This one, He taps again, and I flinch again. He takes drill in hand and begins. The dull whir of the instrument drowns out the gentler strains of the radio, and I hold on to the arms of my chair in a death grip. I gag. The whine of the drill subsides, and Luther K. Brodzeller places a fist on his hip. He hands me a tiny paper cup and orders spit. Then the work resumes. At one point, I cry a muffled yowl, and my tormentor tells me not to be a baby. If I do not suck it up, ether will be brought out. I grasped the arms of the chair even harder. The dentist tamps an amalgam into the center, into the crater that he has created in the center of my tooth. The stuff squeaks as he pushes on my jaw. Mrs. Brodzeller wipes my chin and unclips the bib from my chest. She hands me a sheet of paper with instructions to avoid popcorn and strawberries for the next 48 hours, and to brush in an up and down motion twice a day. I stumble back to the waiting room. My tongue finds tiny shards of silver filling tucked in the space between my gums and cheeks. I spit them out surreptitiously. I hesitate, then go to the window box and pick up the Saturday Evening Post once more. I tuck it under my belt. Then, nonchalantly, I leave the building. One day, I promise myself as I make off with my ill-gotten gains, my name will be in this most extraordinary publication. One day, I will create my own happiness machine. Thank you all for coming. I am so proud of being a part of this group. You inspire me every week with your creativity, and I just hope that we can continue this ad infinitum.